This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving around. I am supposed to be driving home, but our small groups are starting to wrap up for the year. So we only just have a few more, and we're supposed to be doing fellowship night tonight, but there's been a lot of rain, a lot of stuff going on, and we had a lot of people that are out. There's all kinds of end of school year things going on, and so because of that, we're ending up just at a restaurant. So that's at 5:20. It is 10 till 5 right now. So I'm just going to drive around for a little bit. We'll do this, and then we'll head home. And then I think the young man who lives in our rock house might be buying a car this evening, and we might have to do some car shuffling stuff. So he, I think, is going to be taking his car and then buying another car and then driving home, and then I'm going to take him back to get his car, and we'll get it all shuffled around. Anyways, so good week at work. Got plenty of things done and was able to accomplish the things we needed to do this week. Had some good meetings this week, and things are puttering along. Looks good. Writing is going fine. I'm a few words down, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I'm hoping to grab a few words this evening to be able to get caught up and get back on track for that. And then, here in a couple of weeks, we'll be done with small groups, and then I can kind of go back to my regular schedule again that I've done for years, and so I won't have that extra piece out of my week. But, you know, the small groups have been a really, really good thing, and good thing. And so they've been worth doing and made some new friendships, and all of that is great. So that's gone fine. The costumes are going fine, although the Fairy Day costume has taken a little longer than I'd hoped. But it looks like that's actually going to work. Some of these things, when you have a concept, you don't realize how much engineering is going to go into it by the time it's all said and done. But the trick is to put the engineering in so that the costume doesn't fall apart on you, but hide it so that you don't really realize how much engineering there is. So got the concept, and it's all there, and it's all working. It's just there's a lot of steps, and I'm working on the waistband tonight. So the goal would be to finish sewing on the waistband tonight. And if I can get that done, it's good night. And then I have to build the internal support for this thing, because this, you know, this the skirt on it is actually ending up heavier than I was expected. But I've got the I've got everything mapped out for how we'll do the supports. So I think, you know, it's going to be fine. That'll just be fine. So that's good. And you know, my wife has told me a couple of times how gorgeous it is. So, you know, it's nice, you know, when your wife comes over and looks at your work and go, wow, that is really gorgeous. Thanks, sweetie. So that's good. Since I'm kind of hurrying along here, there's a lot of interesting goings on in the world right now. Things are getting fascinating. You know, the level of tribalism and the level of just rancor and shouting and threatening and goodness. I have said it before, I will say it again. All of this can be solved. Love your neighbor. That's the solution. It is the solution. It is the only solution. Everything else is a waste of time. It's a waste of time, and it leads to destruction. So when you've got people who are leaking Supreme Court documents, trying to influence the Supreme Court, that's destruction. Who have, you know, taken are understand the necessity of having deliberations proceed in a way that is not open for public debate. That's the whole point of the Supreme Court. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this will all work out. I mean, when they're starting to erect fences around the Supreme Court to protect the Supreme Court, that's really interesting. And it's especially really interesting when you apparently have one side who believes that the Supreme Court needs to be harangued into submission, which is like, whoa, wait a minute, that's the whole point of having the Supreme Court. And especially over an issue like abortion. That's so interesting. Because when phraseology is used that, yes, a woman has to have the right to abort their child, and they use terminology like child, they're no longer trying to make the case that it's just a lump of flesh. Everyone has gotten seemingly to the point where they've just said, well, yeah, the needs of the mother outweigh the needs of the child, and... you know, yes, we're saying that in order to be free, we have to be able to kill our babies. It's just like, wow, the amount of psychological damage that is inherent in those activities. That is really rough. Because the flesh is not whatever you believe about all of that, the flesh is going to take that and run with it. And, yeah. So, yeah, it's fascinating. It is just really, really fascinating. And you've got comedians that are getting attacked on stages and, whew. But who knows, maybe we all get to the place where we finally decide that this whole thing of not having at least some sort of basic moral code is not really a good deal. And that maybe we need to embrace something else. It's so fascinating because there's so much noise now that is created by our culture to keep us distracted. You wonder, you know, if people are actually going to be able to get out of that. But by the same token, there's some really interesting, I've heard, and I this is not what the podcast is on, and this just may be what the podcast is on. It's not my notes. I have other notes, but they're notes that can be, you know, pushed off for other times. But it's so interesting to me to see how this is going to develop out, because now it appears that all that's going to happen is that we are just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into this doublethink and this upside down way of approaching things, and this kind of very selfish, narcissistic approach to life that's all self-absorbed, and we're buried in our phones all the time and we're not actually talking to each other, and all those things that just lead towards destruction. And you think, well, how in the world are we ever going to back out from this? And yet at the same time, there's this really interesting backlash that seems to be forming up, where these things are coming out of the blue. Like this business of Elon Musk buying Twitter. It's just, what just happened there when it seemed like all of social media was going to be bent a certain way, and then out of the blue, this guy spends $44 billion. Just wow. And there have been some really humorous There have been some really humorous things that Musk has tweeted out about this. You know, the whole bit about, yeah, I'm going to buy Coca-Cola now because I want to put cocaine back in Coca-Cola. Or, and I'm buying Doritos because I want to, I'm buying Doritos because I'm going to fill the bag all the way up. I mean, some of this stuff is just hysterical. And the amount of vitriol and hatred and... You know, one of the things that's interesting about trying to live in that space, trying to exist in that space of all that vitriol, one of the things that's really interesting all about that is you don't walk away free. You can't live in that type of vitriol free. Because it will chew you up and just destroy stuff within you. Because that's the flesh. And what you see in these things is that people who are in that mode of in any kind of critical theory, because we've got a bunch of them now. We've got gender critical theory and race critical theory, critical race theory, critical gender theory, all these kinds of stuff. Where I've said this before, but it still amuses me. When I first heard about critical theory, I thought, oh, they're using the word in some sort of an interesting way where we're doing a critique, where we're deconstructing, where we're thinking about things, where we're taking a very reasoned approach to it, and we're really being serious about examining the ins and outs of all this kind of stuff. That's why the word critical in it is in it. But apparently the reason the word critical is in it is because you're just supposed to criticize everything. So it's not like it's some highfalutin thing. It's just the little awkward, upsetting person, socially backwards person in the corner going, well, you shouldn't be doing that because you should. It's the nag in the corner. That's critical theory. And doesn't matter how much progress you've made, doesn't matter how much, they're just going to sit in the corner. Well, you didn't do that because I didn't do that. Well, that stuff is just going to chew you up and spit you out. Those types of attitude. And what we've seen over and over again is even those who are the most ardent followers, you're in it long enough, it does such a number on you psychologically, or that, you know, you just have to give it up and walk away from it, or you don't cross every T and dot every I, and you end up making the one mistake. And once you make that one mistake, then everybody comes down on you like a ton of bricks because you made a mistake. You know, and this whole Phariseeism, this entire Phariseeism that has risen again, it's so fascinating to me that the whole push from the more liberal side was all that, you know, you Christians are so condemning and so accusatory and nobody can live up to your standards. And you need to just live and let live. And you need to, you know, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. That just from a couple of years ago, that was the liberal side. And now it's completely flipped around where the liberal side has this self-righteousness that if you don't toe the line and do exactly what we said, that we are going to condemn you and we are going to rail against you and we are going to pull out the pitchforks and we're going to storm the castle and stone you. Like, wow, Phariseeism. It's just amazing how this works. Because the flesh only has a couple of things at its disposal. It's not very creative. It only has a few things at its disposal. And what you see over and over and over and over and over again is this criticism, tribalism, condemnation. And it doesn't matter what the belief system is. If you let it slip and start encouraging us versus them, it's just all downhill. It's really amazing. It's really amazing to watch. So it's going to be fascinating to see, is there enough of a core where people say, you know what, this doesn't feel right. I had just a lovely conversation. It's been months ago now. I forget even what the costume was. But I was in Walmart, and this young man, I'd said hello to him. He had said hello back and smiled, and we just started jabbering a little bit, talking about this, that, and the other. And somehow, I don't know if he brought it up or I, you know, I probably said something like, yeah, we need more smiles at this point because there's a lot of stuff going on where people are mad at each other. And he jumped in immediately. He said, I know. He said, all these people are trying to tell me that I'm supposed to hate you just because you're white, because he was a person of color. I said, I know. He said, I don't even know you. I said, right. I don't even know you, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. He said, right. We had this lovely conversation. And, you know, you just wonder how many people like that are there out there who just say, yeah, this is not working. This is not working. And all of this stuff with transgenderism, that what I got so tickled with today was there's some, I forget even who it was, but so we're having this big debate, you know, now about abortion and whether things can be ruled on a certain way and blah, 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 blah. And one of the news outlets felt the need to put out an article about how abortions, the removal of abortions rights may affect the transgender community, because that's because that's supposed to be the, well, now that it's going to affect the transgender community, I guess we have to reconsider everything, because it seems like, you know, at this point, that's the big club. You know, that, well, if it affects transgender people, that we just have to completely stop what we're doing and redo everything. Not to say that people who have sexual body dysmorphia are not suffering. Certainly they are. But that's also not to say that any of the interventions that are being done at this point, when you look at the statistics, don't, none of those interventions, including full-blown sex changes, seem to help the majority of people. That certainly doesn't reduce the suicide rate by anything significant from the stats that I've seen. So it's just, I got so tickled that in the midst of such roaring about what that meant, that we had to have this article to say that all of a sudden now, you know, the big definer is, well, how is this going to affect transgender people? Oh, man. And it's also fascinating that all of a sudden that no longer are we talking about, you know, that we don't know who a man and a woman is and we don't know those things. It's so fascinating that all of a sudden there's this bit about, well, if you're a man, you know, you can't comment on the whole abortion debate, because then you come back and say, well, I thought nobody knew what a man was and nobody knew what a woman was, and that's all just a gender construct and a social construct, so doesn't that mean we can all talk on this subject? Well, no. Unless you're a biological woman, you can't talk on this subject. Oh, so there is a biological woman. Oh. The other thing about that I got tickled with, I was thinking the other day, you know, people say, well, I'm not a biologist, so I really can't define what a woman is. And it's like, thank God that ancient peoples who didn't have biology could figure out what is a man and what is a woman and how they should get together and have babies. Because if they hadn't figured that out somehow, because it's such a mystery, the human race would have died out. But thank God, somehow, the ancient tribes were able to figure out what's a man and what's a woman and how to get the two together. Because if they were completely confused about that, and two men were trying to get together and have a baby, that wasn't going to work. And if two women were trying to get together and have a baby, that wasn't going to work. So there was a whole lot more ways that it wouldn't work than the way that it did. But somehow, miraculously, somehow, miraculously, the ancient people, without biology, without any kind of science, managed to figure this out and had babies. So there you go. But anyway, so all is well. You know, life is good. Tomorrow's going to be one of those interesting costumes because it is Mother's Day tomorrow we're celebrating. So, you know, it's the little Lolita dress. And I'm getting together with one on Friday, one on Saturday. Two of my newer friends, two of my newer colleagues. Well, newer colleagues that I have taken to breakfast. Let's put it that way. From work. So it'll be interesting. One guy, I've never gone to breakfast with him before. And I showed him the outfit. I described what it was. He said that he had told his wife about this. And he said, my wife got a big kick out of this. Yeah, then she did. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. I think I mentioned last week that I didn't even realize that this was Mother's Day because it's coming so early this year. Because Sunday, you know, was on the 1st, and so it is as early as it can be. I had mentioned, you know, that we're going to a restaurant with the small groups here and that there was a lot of graduation stuff going on. I'm actually sitting at the restaurant right now, and I'm amazed how many college-age or maybe high school-age kids are coming and going to the hotel that's just across the street. Apparently, that's senior trip or something's going on. Another bus just pulled in here with a bunch of kids on it. And, you know, they're on some kind of an adventure. And I just saw a van pull in with university on the side. Saw five or six kids. And I say kids because they are kids to me at this point. Saw five or six kids hauling out of there. So apparently, yeah, we are in that weekend when all that stuff is happening. And I need to wander in and go have supper with a few members of our small group. And then we'll go from there. Have a great weekend. This is Phil Ferrand. I haven't made it home yet, but I am working on it. Talk to you later.